Today, we're looking at the last words of Jesus' public ministry. John chapter 13 through 17 get into Christ's private time of teaching for his disciples. It's the upper room discourse. It's where Jesus and his disciples have the Last Supper together, or the first communion, the first Lord's Supper. And so in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, that's what all of that is. But it's just Christ's ministry to his personal inner circle, preparing them to carry on his ministry whenever he departs. And so now that we're at the end of John chapter 12, Christ has finished his public ministry. And so Christ one more time makes an appeal for people to believe in him. And so what we're going to see here is a very nice summary of the Gospel of John, of everything we've really learned in the Gospel of John so far. It's all of the major truths about Jesus that John has covered. And so if you want to understand Jesus, if you want to help somebody understand Jesus, this is a good passage to turn to, John 12, 44 through 50. And so we're going to just read this passage together, and then I'll point out four truths about Jesus, okay? So verse 44, it says, Jesus cried out, "The one who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." So in other words, Jesus is saying to the Jews, he's saying, the one who believes in me believes not only in me, or not ultimately in me, but in the one who sent me. Now, as a father, I can explain this to you. God commands children to honor their parents, to obey their parents. So I can tell my kids, guys, when you obey me, you're not obeying me. Who are you obeying? You're obeying God, unless I command you to do something sinful. And so that's what Jesus was saying. Of course, you're believing in him, but what he's saying is, the Father sent me. We'll see more of that in just a minute. Verse 45, and the one who sees me sees him who sent me. In other words, Jesus is saying, when you see me, you see the Father. Jesus is not claiming to be the Father. Jesus is not the Father. Jesus is one with the Father. They are one God in three persons. What he's doing is when he says, when you see me, you see the Father, he's saying, I am one with the Father. You're seeing God. When you see me, you see God. I am equal to the Father in substance. Verse 46, I have come as a light, or as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. This is Christ's mission statement. And in different places in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he states it in different ways. Matthew 1:21, he says that his mission is to save his people from their sins. In Mark 10:45, he said his mission was not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In Luke 19:10, he said his mission is to seek and to save the lost. In John 3:17, he said his mission is to save the world. In John 12:46, right here in this passage, he says his mission is to come as a light to rescue us from darkness. And we'll talk more about what that means in just a minute. And then verse 47, if anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't receive my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day. In other words, Jesus says, I didn't come to judge. It's not the reason why I came to earth. I didn't come to judge. I didn't come to condemn. I didn't come to fuss at people. I didn't come to punish people. I didn't come to strike people with lightning. I came to save people, to die on the cross. However, judgment will come by default. It's kind of like the sunlight. The purpose of the sun is not to cast shadows, but when there is sunlight, by default, there will be shadows. So Christ said, I didn't come to condemn, I came to save, but those who reject my words eventually will be judged. Verse 49, for I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command to say everything I have said. I know that his command is eternal life, so the things that I speak just as the Father has told me. Okay, so four big ideas about Jesus. If you like short sermons, I think you'll like this one. Number one, he says he was sent by the Father. Four big ideas about Jesus. He was sent by the Father. And so that idea actually bookends this passage. And remember, this is a summary of Christ's last words in his public ministry, his last words to people in general. The rest of what he says is spoken to his inner circle, his disciples. So in verse 44, the first verse in this passage, he says, "The one who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." In other words, if you believe in me, you're believing in the Father. If you don't believe in me, you're not believing in the Father. And then he says in verses 49 through 50, the last part of this passage, again, "For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command to say everything I have said. I know that his command is eternal life. So the things that I speak just as the Father has told me." So his point is, I was sent by the Father. The Father endorses me. The Father has given me the words to say. The Father has told me what I'm supposed to do. Everything that I'm doing is coming from the Father. It's blessed by the Father. I'm not here on my own. And that's a very, very important point that Jesus was making, especially to the Jews, because the Jews claimed to worship the Father. They claimed to believe in the Father, but they didn't believe in Jesus. They said, "We believe in God the Father. We believe in Yahweh, but we don't believe you. We reject you." So Jesus had to make this point over and over again in the Gospels that he was sent by the Father, that he's with the Father, that he's one with the Father. So if you're rejecting me, you're rejecting the Father. But if you believe in me, you're believing in the Father. If you obey me, you're obeying the Father. You disobey me, you're disobeying God the Father. He made this point over and over again in John 5:23. We saw this verse earlier in the Gospel of John. He said, "Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Because the Jews, remember, especially the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, they were so passionate about obedience and obeying the law and honoring the Father. Jesus was saying, but if you don't honor me, you're not honoring the Father, because the Father sent me. I'm his Son. So the point for us, that we can translate that to us, we're not Jews in the first century, but the point is that you cannot have a relationship with God without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot have a relationship with God without also believing in and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said this in John 14:6. Very important verse for you to know. You don't have to memorize it, but you just need to know this verse as far as where it is so that you can point people to it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Very exclusive language. There are people all over the world who claim to be religious and who claim to believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. But Jesus says that their religion is false. Jesus says that if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to connect with God, if you want to be close to God, if you want to have access to God, if you want to go to God after you die, you have to go through him. You have to believe that he is who he said he is. You have to embrace him as God's one and only divine Son, the Savior of the world, who died, rose, ascended, and is coming again. To reject Christ is to reject God. So that's the first big idea about Jesus. He was sent by the Father. Number two, the second big idea is that he is God. Jesus is God. So in this passage, Christ identifies himself with the Father in three ways, just in this short passage, in verse 44, to believe in Christ is to believe in the Father. When he says, if you believe in me, you don't believe in me, you believe in the one who sent me. So to believe in Christ is to believe in the Father. In verse 45, he says, to see Christ is to see the Father. To see him. You see me, you see the Father. And then in verses 49 through 50, to hear Christ is to hear the Father, because the Father sent him, the Father gave him the words to say. So again, I want to make this point clear. What we believe as Christians, classic Orthodox Christianity, for two millennia has taught that Christ is not the Father. Christ is not the Holy Spirit. That there is one God in three distinct persons. So Jesus is God, but he's not God the Father. But that's what he was claiming here. He was claiming to be God, to be equal. What we believe about the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is that they are co-equal co-eternal. They are all three equally God, all three equally eternal with no beginning and no end. So Jesus says something similar in John chapter 14. Some of you will find this passage familiar. John 14, 8 through 11, as Jesus is having this final farewell discourse with his disciples, Philip's is speaking. Verse 8, "Lord," said Philip, "show us the Father, and that's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been among you all this time, and you do not know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves." When Jesus says, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me," that when you see me, you see the Father. Jesus is not trying to confuse us by saying that he is the Father. What he's trying to say is that he is the exact representation of God the Father's nature, of God the Father's substance. He is God along with God the Father. And then again in John 14, 7, Jesus says, "If you know me, you will also know my Father." So Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches, is not merely a man, although he was fully human. He was not merely a good teacher, not merely a prophet, not merely a good ethical, moral example. The Bible teaches abundantly clear that Jesus Christ is God. Even in the Gospel of John, in the very first chapter, John teaches who Jesus is. He teaches the deity of Christ from the very beginning. John 1, 1 through 3. John starts out this book, the Gospel of John, like this. He says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, he refers to Jesus as the Word because Jesus is the heart of God's message to humanity. Jesus is the heart of God's message to humanity. Jesus is God's communication to mankind. So he refers to him as the Logos in Greek, the Word. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on. He says, "He was with God," and this is why we say that Jesus and God the Father are not the same, because he is God, but he was with God. "He was with God in the beginning." And then verse 3, "All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created." Now, John stresses the deity of Christ here in three ways. I want you to see this. First of all, he said the Word was God. Now, you can't be any more clear or direct than that. The Word was God. And then he says he was with God in the beginning. And here he's declaring Christ's eternality, which is an attribute that only God possesses. That Jesus Christ, just like God the Father, had no beginning. He was with God in the beginning. He's eternal. And then the third way that John stresses his deity, he says all things were created through him. All things were created through him. And so, who created the heavens and the earth? In the beginning, who? God. Genesis 1:1. The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. But here, John says that Jesus is the creator. And so, Jesus is God. John stresses that in three ways. There's no clearer way that John could have taught that Jesus is God. So, Jesus is not a God. He's not a lesser God. He's not one of many gods. He's not God's spirit child that God had with some spirit mother, as the Mormons teach. It's not who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He's Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament. He's co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and God, the Holy Spirit. Okay, number three. The third big idea is that he came to rescue us from darkness. He came to rescue us from darkness. Again, this is his mission statement in John 12, 46. "I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness." Light may be John's favorite metaphor for Christ. Jesus is often referred to as light. In fact, it's one of Christ's seven I am statements. His, his declarations of deity. He says, I'm the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Well, one of the things that he said in John 8:12, one of those seven I am statements in the Gospel of John, he said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus referred to himself as the light. I mentioned this as whenever we studied that passage in John 8, that when Jesus calls himself the light, he's declaring two things. He's declaring both deity and messiahship. This is a claim to be both God and Messiah. In the Old Testament, God was the light of Israel. You see this, for example, in John 27:1, where King David wrote, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So when Jesus comes along and he says, I am the light of the world, that's a claim to be God. It's a claim to deity. But it's also a claim to be the Messiah. Isaiah 49:6 writes about the coming Messiah. I will also make you a light for the nations to be my salvation to the ends of the earth. So the Jews were waiting for the Messiah and were expecting him to be a light. And so Jesus comes and says, I am the light. So he's claiming to be the Messiah and to be God. So why did Jesus use the light metaphor to refer to himself? How does that make sense as far as salvation? Well, darkness in the Bible is a metaphor for sin and for Satan, for death, for sorrow, for hell, for ignorance. And so Jesus, when he says, I'm the light of the world, he came to rescue us from all of this darkness. He says that he rescues us from the darkness of sin, and he empowers us to live in righteousness and love. He rescues us whenever we get saved from the darkness of Satan and enables us to overcome his attacks. He rescues us from the darkness of sorrow, and he fills our hearts with joy and peace. He rescues us from the darkness of hell and grants us eternal life. He rescues us from the darkness of ignorance and gives us the knowledge of God. So this is what Jesus does. He delivers us, rescues us from darkness. It's a wonderful metaphor for his mission. But I want you to notice before we move on in that verse 46, his mission statement, that there is a condition. That when we come into this world, we come into this world in darkness, separated from God. And Jesus says, well, I came to rescue you from the darkness. But there's a condition. He says in verse 46, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. So there is a condition. If you want to be rescued from the darkness, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to put your faith. You have to connect to the light. So make no mistake that the Bible does not teach that everybody is saved, that everybody goes to heaven. The Bible doesn't teach that there is no hell. The Bible doesn't teach that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're a good person. These ideas are foreign to Scripture, but very popular in our culture today. The Bible is very clear that there is salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved from the darkness, you have to believe in Jesus. It reminds me of the story of Noah's Ark, one of the most famous stories in the Bible. Mankind was multiplying across the earth, and they had become very, very wicked, very, very sinful. So sinful, in fact, that God decided to wipe out everyone in the world and start over. Wipe out all people, all animals, and start over with one righteous man, Noah, and his family, his wife and his three sons and their wives. And so God came to Noah, spoke to him, and said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth. Because mankind is so sinful, I'm going to start over with you. And so I want you to build an ark, this giant boat. And so Noah did it. He built the ark. And then whenever the rains came, Noah and his family, they got in the ark and they were rescued from the floods. And so all of us are descendants from Noah. Now, God judged the earth because of their sin, but he provided a way of salvation, the ark. But Noah and his family had to do something. They had to board the ark. They had to get in the ark. Well, God sent Jesus Christ to be our ark, the ark of our salvation. All of us have been born into sin. We are all sin by nature and by choice. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God, and that all of us will face and are facing the wrath of God against sin. But God loved us still, and he sent Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, to be the ark to save us from the flood of God's wrath and judgment. But we have to board the ark. And you do that by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, by believing that he is the Savior, and that he and he alone is God's payment for your sins, that you can do nothing to contribute to your salvation other than believe in Jesus. In fact, that the only thing that you can do to contribute to your salvation is the sin that put Jesus on the cross. And so we must do our part. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. It's not enough to look at the ark. It's not enough to admire the ark. It's not enough to even believe that the ark is real. Noah and his family had to board the ark when the floodwaters came. And the same for you. It's not enough for you to look at Christ, to admire Christ, to be a fan of Christ. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You have to turn to him, turn from your sins, anything that offends him, and lean on him for salvation. And you can be saved. All right, and here's the fourth truth that John gives us in this passage, is that he did not come to judge. He did not come to judge. Look at verse 47 again. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. So again, Christ's purpose for coming to earth was not to judge, to punish, to destroy, or to fuss at people. His purpose was to come and to save, to rescue. He was on a rescue mission. We see this in Christ's words in John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The commentator William Barclay said, it was not the wrath of God which sent Jesus to us, it was his love. The Bible makes it very clear that although hell exists, that God doesn't want anyone to go there. It was never God's intention. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord does not delay his promise. It's referring to the second coming of Christ. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. God doesn't want any to perish. We see this also in 1 Timothy 2:3 through 4. Where it says, this is good and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Christ did not come to judge, but again, he will judge on the last day. His first mission, the incarnation, the very first Christmas, it was a rescue mission, not a judgment mission. But the Bible says that one day Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back as judge. That's when he will sit on his throne, and everyone, both the living and the dead, will have to go before him and be judged. John 12:48, the very next verse after he says, I didn't come to judge those who reject me, I don't judge them. The very next verse, though, it says, the one who rejects me and doesn't receive me or receive my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day. The last day refers to judgment day. And what he's saying is that when I come back on the last day, people will be judged by what they did with my words. Did they believe me or did they reject me? In the end, you will be judged, and you will be judged according to one thing. What did you do with Jesus Christ? Did you believe him or did you reject him? Acts 17:31 says, because he has set a day, God has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. That's Jesus Christ. So everybody's going to be judged by one standard. What did you do with Jesus? Did you accept him or reject him? Did you confess him or deny him? Did you listen to him or ignore him? Did you run to him or run from him? Did you love him or did you hate him? 1 John 5:11 through 12 says, I like how John, the same John who wrote the Gospel of John, also wrote the epistles, the letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so he says this in 1 John 5:11 through 12, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It all comes down to what you do with Jesus Christ. How is your relationship with Jesus Christ today? There are a few parts of the Bible that are difficult to understand. And if you've been trying to read through your Bible in a year, you'll notice that. You'll get to parts of the Bible, a few parts of the Bible, where you're like, I don't know what this means. And some of that just means that you need to learn some of the historical, geographical background. But sometimes, even the greatest scholars, there's some parts of Scripture that are just very, very difficult to understand. But the vast majority of the Bible is very, very clear. The vast majority of the Bible is about Jesus Christ. The Old Testament points to Jesus. The New Testament reveals Jesus, tells us all about him. He was sent from the Father. He is God. He is the light who saves us from the darkness, but we have to believe in him. And he didn't come to judge, but those who reject him will one day be judged. So, this morning, you have no excuse. Now you've been told the gospel. You've been told the message of Jesus. You understand the big idea of Jesus Christ. In fact, now you understand the big idea of the entire Bible. The nutshell of the Bible is what we covered this morning. And so now, you just have to make a decision for Christ. Where is your relationship with Jesus Christ? How are you doing with Jesus today? Some of you say, well, I'm a Christian, but you haven't been seeking Jesus. You haven't been striving with all your heart to know him and to grow in Christ. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Rededicate your life to Christ this morning. Get back to your quiet time. Get back to your time of prayer and Bible study. Maybe get back faithful with church. How is your relationship with Jesus? There are some of you this morning that you've been living in sin. And that's a sign that maybe you're not saved. If you've just been tolerating known sin in your life, maybe you're not truly saved. Remember, even the devil believes in Jesus, but he's not saved. And so you may need to recommit your life to Jesus Christ this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't know that you're saved. You're not sure that you're going to heaven when you die. You're just not sure. And this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior this morning and be saved once and for all. You only have to be saved once, and you can't lose your salvation, but you need to do it right. And so let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's do some business with the Lord. Father, in the next few moments, I just ask that you would give us the desire and the power to do your will, to forsake the world, to forsake sin, and to turn to you completely in faith and in devotion and in love. Draw us, Lord, to yourself.